I want you to take a Bible today and go to Romans chapter 10. Romans chapter 10, verse 8. We've been talking about faith. Faith has the power to move your mountain. Faith has the power to meet your need. Faith has the power to mark your life for a manifestation of the miraculous. The Bible says God's given to every one of us a measure of faith. It's faith that comes by hearing and hearing by the word of God. I expect fully for your faith to be increased today as you hear the word of God. How many of you are with me? We can never lose the excitement of the discovery process. I love the age Zoe's at. She's 2. She's making some connections that she had never made before. One of those is with potty training. And she finally got it last week. She figured it out. She connected toilet, bathroom. And, you know, she's excited about it. Every single day is a new day for her. And she rediscovers things all over again. I mean, it's kind of like applesauce at the elderly home. Brings a smile to their face every day. Right? But you know what? We can never lose that process of discovery in our walk with God. Every day it should be new. Every day it should be fresh. Every time we come back and approach the Word of God, there should be an excitement and an expectation in your spirit as you receive the Word of God. I want that to happen right now. In the name of Jesus. Romans chapter 10, verse 8. Are you there? And here's what it says. It says, but what does it say? The Word is near you in your mouth and in your heart. The word is near you in your mouth and in your heart. The word is near you in your mouth and in your heart. The word of God must be in your mouth and in your heart. That is the word of faith. Somebody say the word of faith, which we preach. Now, the Apostle Paul, who wrote half the books of the New Testament, said that the word he preached was, he called it, the word of what? Faith. He called it the word of faith. It's that word that needs to be in our heart and in our mouth. Verse 9, that if you confess with your mouth, somebody say mouth, the Lord Jesus, and believe in your heart, somebody say heart. You see that again, mouth, heart. That if you confess with your mouth and believe in your heart that God has raised him or Jesus from the dead, you will be saved. Verse 10, for with the heart, somebody say heart. With the heart, one believes unto righteousness, and with the mouth, there it is again, heart, mouth. With the mouth, confession is made unto salvation. This morning, I want you to make a connection between what you believe in your heart and what's coming out of your mouth. And I'm going to talk to you about the confession connection. Father, in the name of Jesus, we thank you, Lord, today for your word. And Father, we thank you that it is alive and it's powerful and it's sharper than a two-edged sword and it's more than able to meet every need we have in our life. And it's through these exceedingly great and precious promises that we become partakers of the divine life, the life that you paid for by the blood of your Son, Jesus. We thank you today that by grace your hand is extended to us, that your best belongs to us because of the blood of Jesus. And by faith, Father, today we reach out and we lay hands on that thing and we take it, God. As easy as that, as simple as that, Father, we receive everything you have for us today. Father, make that connection for us today between our heart and our mouth. Father, I pray that our mouths get saved today. And God, we give you all the glory. If there be anyone here today that has not yet known your Son as their Savior and as their Lord, I'm asking today before they leave, they believe in their heart and say with their mouth that Jesus is Lord. And God, we thank you that it's done now. In Jesus' name we pray. And everybody said, amen. 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 Thank you, band. Y'all give the band a hand this morning. I want to take another look at Romans chapter 10, verse 10. The Bible says, with a heart one believes unto righteousness. We've already established that the word needs to be in your mouth and in your heart. The word's got to be in my mouth and in my heart. It's not enough for me to just believe. It's not enough for me to just believe. But the Bible says, with the heart one believes unto righteousness. And with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. Somebody say unto. You see that word there. It says it twice. With the heart one believes unto righteousness. And with the mouth, confession is made unto salvation. Here we have two vehicles. We have believing, we have faith, and we have confession. They both are getting us to the greatest miracle that you will ever receive in your life. And that is the day that you called on the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. And old things passed away. All things became new. You became a brand new creature, bought and paid for, washed clean, whiter than snow by the blood of Jesus Christ. Your past is gone. Your future is bright. He's established a heavenly home for you and given you a purpose between now and the day you meet him face to face. Something to connect to, something to do. All because you believed in your heart in the blood of Jesus Christ and you said with your mouth, Jesus is Lord of my life, that God made you so clean, no matter how dirty you are or were on the inside, he cleansed you out so much that his very own spirit could come and live on the inside of your body, making you now the temple of the Holy Spirit. That's what God did for you. That is the greatest miracle that could ever be accomplished. And with that miracle, every other miracle flows into your life. Can you say amen? So I want you to notice, come on, if you're happy to be saved, come on, let's give God glory. So we're making the confession connection. The Bible says, with the heart one believes unto. It's that word unto that fascinated me, because with the heart I get to righteousness. With the mouth I get to salvation. I don't just believe in my heart, but I've got to open my mouth and say, Jesus, you're Lord of my life. Because the Bible says, whoever calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved. I've got to have the name of God on my lips. Jesus said, if you deny me before men, I'll deny you before the Father. But if you confess me, speak me before men, I will speak your name before my Father. So the Bible says, with the heart one believes unto righteousness. And with the mouth, confession is made unto salvation. That word unto means the point reached or entered. In other words, I believe, and that believing, my faith, is a vehicle that gets me to a point. I say with my mouth, and my confession is a vehicle that gets me to a place of entrance. You believed, and you confessed your way unto or into salvation. Now, here's the thing. Some of you have wondered why you have not yet seen the things happen that you've been believing God for. And here's what I want to say to you today. Many times what we believe in our heart is not always what's coming out of our mouth. We say we believe one thing, but what we say out of our mouths is a totally different thing. And then we wonder why we're not seeing what the Word of God says for us. We wonder why the Word doesn't work for us. Could it be that we're missing the confession connection? That what I say I believe in my heart is not really what it is that's coming out of my mouth. And that's the connection we've got to make today. 2 Corinthians 4:13 says this. It says, and since we have the same spirit of what? What are we talking about? Faith. Since we have the same spirit of faith, the Bible says, according to what is written, I believed and therefore I spoke. We also believe and therefore speak. I love that. We also believe and therefore speak. The spirit of faith says, I believe, and because I believe, I speak. Or I speak what I believe. Or I learn to say with my mouth what God has deposited in my heart. See, faith finds expression through my confession. And speaking is one of the greatest things you can do to release the force of faith in your life. Mark chapter 11, verse 22. Would you go there? Mark 11, 22. It says, so Jesus answered and said to them, have faith in God. For assuredly I say to you, whoever says to this mountain, be removed and be cast into the sea, and does not doubt in his heart, but believes that those things he says will be done, he will have whatever he says. If you have a pen this morning, I want you to circle every time your Bible says the word says in verse 23. I'm going to read it again, and I want you to see this. Jesus begins in verse 22 by saying, have faith in God. Verse 23 says, for assuredly I say to you, whoever says, there's the first one, circle it. Whoever says to this mountain. He didn't say whoever says to the Father. He said whoever says to the mountain, be removed and be cast in the sea, and does not doubt in his heart, but believes. See, there again, the connection between my mouth and my heart. But believes those things he says, there's the second one, will be done. He will have whatever he says. There's the third one. Therefore, I say to you, whatever things you ask when you pray, believe that you receive them and you will have them. Now I want to go back through and read verse 23, verse 22 to 24, looking at faith. So Jesus answered and said to them, have faith in God. Notice the word faith. For assuredly I say to you, whoever says to this mountain, be removed and be cast into the sea, and does not doubt in his heart, but believes. Notice that word believes. That those things he says will be done, he will have whatever he says. Therefore I say to you, whatever things you ask when you pray, believe. There's that word believe again. That you receive them, you will have them. This is my point. Three times Jesus says what you say, three times he says what you believe. Jesus gave just as much attention, follow this, to what you say as he did to what you believe. How important are your words in connection to your faith? If faith is the force that has the power to move my mountain, then it's not only a matter of what I believe, but it's a matter of what's coming out of my mouth. Because in verse 23, I want you to see this again. Jesus said he will have whatever he says. He will have whatever he says. I want you to read that with me. Ready? Read. He will have whatever he says. Let's do it again. He will have whatever he says. In other words, you will see what you say. I cannot possess what I refuse to confess. It's what comes out of my mouth that is framing the worlds around me. Hebrews 11:3. Remember, by faith we understand that the worlds were framed by the word of God. God stepped out into darkness on creation morning, but what he saw and what he said were two different things. He saw darkness, but what he said was light. He said, let there be light, and there was light. The Bible says the Holy Spirit had hovered upon the face of the deep. We don't know for how long or how many millennia, but the Holy Spirit was there hovering, giving the indication that he was waiting for something. What, Josh, was it was he was waiting for? I'll tell you what he was waiting on. He was waiting to hear the word of God. And when he heard the word, no, he hadn't done anything for millenniums over the face of the deep. But when he heard the word of God, let there be light, then all of a sudden the Holy Spirit went to work and there was light. What did the Holy Spirit move on? What did the Holy Spirit act on? What caused the Holy Spirit to do something? It was the word of God. By faith, we understand that the worlds were framed by the spoken word of God. God said it, and it came to pass. Now, the Bible says in Genesis 1:26 that he created you in his own likeness and in his own image. God is a speaking spirit, and so are you. You are the apex of his endeavors. You are the pinnacle of his creation. You are the glory and the one that he says, I want you to look at what I've made. I want you to look at man. That's why Satan didn't attack animals. He attacked you. Because God created you with a spirit, and he also gave you the ability to speak. And he took man and he set him in the Garden of Eden, and he gave Adam the power to name what was in his world. He had the power to say what was in his world. God has given you the power to not only frame your world with your words like he did, but to name your world with your words the same way he did. Can you say amen? So we cannot possess what we do not confess. Proverbs 18:20. A man's stomach shall be satisfied from the fruit of his mouth. In other words, be satisfied with whatever you have in your life right now, because it's a result of your decisions and your words. And he says, from the produce of his lips he shall be filled. Your lips are producing something, whether you realize it or not. Whether you agree with me today or not, this is not what Josh Payne says. This is what the Word of God says. The Word of God declares that your lips are producing something. So my question is, what will your words produce in your life? Because I will see what I say. Here, let me do it like this. We sang it this morning. Psalm 107, verse 2. Let the redeemed of the Lord say so. He didn't say believe so. He didn't say think so. He didn't say feel so. He said, let the redeemed of the Lord say so. So I'm going to need your help this morning. Because if you believe that Jesus saves, then you ought to say it. How about an amen? Amen. All right, let's get on the same page. If you believe Jesus heals, then you ought to say it. Amen puts us in agreement. Amen is so let it be. If you believe that your blood, your sins are washed away by the blood of Jesus, then you ought to say it. Somebody say what? Amen. If you believe you're the righteousness of God in Christ, then you ought to say it. If you believe the blessing of God belongs to you because of the blood of Jesus Christ, then you ought to stand up and say it. If you believe God's best belongs to you because of his grace and what Jesus Christ paid the price for you on the cross for, then we got to say it. If you believe you're an heir of God and a joint heir with Jesus, if you believe you're holy and blameless and above reproach, like his word says, if you believe you're anointed and you're appointed and you're more than a conqueror and you're on your way to heaven and you're free from hell and you're walking in divine health and the angels of God are surrounding you, protecting you, going out and coming in, then let the redeemed of the Lord say that. Too many times, we stay quiet about what God has already openly and publicly said about us. What are we ashamed of? Are we afraid the world's going to think we're weird? Let me help you, baby. You're already weird. You believe in a God you've never seen, born of a virgin, raised the third day, sent a Holy Spirit to live on the inside of you, building a house for you to live in that you didn't buy. On earth, that's called theft. You're already out there. Stop trying to impress the world. Amen? And let's get our mouths in line with the word of God. Let the redeemed of the Lord say so. Here's why. Because the Bible says in Revelation that they overcame by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of their testimony. I've got to put the blood and my word together. And when that happens, there's an explosive release, a shockwave of the power of God that is released into my situation, into my circumstances, and it eradicates Satan from my home, from my family, from my mind, from my health, from my future, from my kids, from my finances. I can say, devil, in the name of Jesus, I serve notice on you. According to the word of God, I bind you. I rebuke you. I put a restraining order on you. Go in the name of Jesus. And now I apply the blood of Jesus over everything I just rebuked you from, sealing you off from coming back in. I will only possess that which I confess. Somebody say confession. Confession is the Greek word homologio. Sometimes you hear me talk about Greek. Sometimes you hear me talk about Hebrew. The New Testament was written in Greek originally. Old Testament was written in Hebrew. So we go back to the original languages to receive a clear understanding of what it is that's being said. And the word confession there literally means to speak the same thing. The Bible says you believe in your heart unto righteousness, but confession was made unto salvation. If the greatest miracle in your life took place through that vehicle of believing in your heart and confessing with your mouth, can I submit to you today that everything else you'll ever need in your life will come the exact same way? That means God has put my miracle in my mouth. Because out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. What's really on the inside of my heart is what's coming out of my mouth. That ought to scare some of you. Because my mouth gives me a window into my heart. Not what I say I believe. That's not what's really there. What's really there is what's coming out of my mouth on a regular basis. And so confession means to speak the same thing. It means to speak the same thing. Confession means to speak the same thing. What does confession mean? To speak the same thing. So here's what we've got to do. We've got to get what we say lined up with what he says. That's what confession is all about. It's getting my mouth and my words and my tongue to line up with what God's words are saying to me, saying through me, and saying about me. Now, James chapter 3, verse 4 declares that your tongue is like the rudder of a ship that determines where it goes. Today, we don't use ships very often, and what we would understand a rudder in comparison to would be a steering wheel on the car. He said your tongue is like a rudder determining the course of the ship, or we could say your tongue is like a steering wheel determining the direction that your vehicle is headed in. And so sometimes in my truck, my alignment gets out, and that means when I want it to go one direction, it veers off course in another direction. And so I've got to make an appointment, I've got to go in, and I've got to get my truck aligned, and they set the wheels back so that when I let go of the wheel, it goes straight down the road and doesn't veer off into a ditch somewhere. And you know, it's the same in our lives. We've got to have a divine alignment. Many of the time our lives, and this happens to all of us from time to time, get out of alignment. And our mouth is going one direction and our heart is in another. And it creates frustration and confusion on the inside of us. And then we wonder why we're not seeing what God said we could see. Why we don't have what God said we could have. Does this make sense this morning? And so we've got to have that divine alignment where the Holy Spirit comes in and he begins to reveal to us the areas that our tongue is out of alignment. And here's the thing. Many times they'll check your caster and your camber and all these, the toe and all this kind of stuff, and they set that. And I want to just drop a few sentences today, and I want you to see if you're off in any areas. How about I'm a loser? I'm a failure. I'm going to quit. I might as well give up. I'll never succeed. I'm not significant. I'm not worth anything. God's angry with me. God doesn't love me. I'm unworthy. I have no faith. I'm sick and I'm going to die young. I'm losing my mind. I'm afraid. Now, I know nobody at Victory Church has ever had this mental conversation, but there is a tape, or I should say an MP3 or a podcast or whatever now, that plays in some people's mind. This is going on constantly. You cannot have a negative tongue and live a positive life. You can't have a tongue in agreement with Satan and live your life for Jesus Christ. Because it's not just about negative and positive. It's about the kingdom of God versus the kingdom of the enemy. Jesus said, the thief came to steal, kill, and destroy, but I've come that you could have life and have it more abundantly. On one side, you have life and have it more abundantly with Jesus. On the other side, you have steal, kill, and destroy with Satan. I can draw a line right down the center, and everything that happens to me in my life goes in one of those two categories. I can determine by saying, does that thing that has come to me, is it a sickness, is it steal, kill, and destroy, or is it life and life more abundantly? Which is it? Steal, kill, and destroy. So that means it was sent from who? Satan. The Bible, on the other hand, says every good and perfect gift comes down from above, from the Father of light. So the good things that come into my life, like my wife. The Bible says he who finds a wife finds a good thing and obtains favor from the Lord. That came to me from God. Because it has led to an abundant life. Amen? And so everything that happens to me, I can determine where it came from. But the same applies to my mouth. Who am I going to get my mouth in agreement with? Because remember, confession means to say the same thing as. So am I going to say the same thing as Satan, or am I going to say the same thing as God? Because by what I say, I can release life and life more abundantly, or I can release steal, kill, and destroy. Not just in my life, not just in my family's life, not just in the people who are around me now, but I can release those things for generations to come. Because there are those of you today who are sitting here who had things spoken over your life that have still been hanging over you and holding you back and holding you down. Because you have not allowed your lips to open up and penetrate the cloud and roll it back in the name of Jesus. And again, whatever you bind on earth is bound in heaven, and whatever you loose, the word of God on earth is loosed, not only loosed in heaven, but loosed from heaven. Hallelujah. That means the things I loose with my mouth flow from the throne of God outside of heaven's gates down into this earth, into my life, and into my situation. I have the power to release God by opening my mouth and saying not what the devil said, but by saying what God said. So who are you going to come into agreement with? Some of you are already recognizing some things you've said that weren't necessarily from God. Let me be real transparent with you and share with you one that just happened to me in the last few weeks. How many of you ever said shame on you? Have you ever heard that saying? Is that just a Southern thing? You say to people, shame on you. I said that to somebody the other day in my family. And I got convicted of it, because here's what I thought. I thought, who am I to pronounce something on them that Jesus carried away for them? You won't hear that from my lips again, but the Holy Spirit showed that to me. Don't let my conviction become your conviction. If you're going to embrace a conviction, let it be from the Holy Spirit, not because you heard a man say it. That's how we end up with rituals and bondage. See, this confession connection, it's very important that this become a revelation for you, because I have watched and I have seen people who walk around saying all the right things, but it's just something that comes from their head. It's not being released from their heart. But we're talking about making a connection between your heart and your mouth. Amen? And so we've got to allow the Holy Spirit to move and to do what he desires in our life, because Satan knows if he can get a hold of your tongue, he can control you. He's got a hold of your rudder. He's got your steering wheel. And so I've got to tame my tongue and train it to speak like God. Somebody say, speak like God. Okay, now here's the thing. I've got to get my words to line up with God's word, because here's what happens when I do that. When I do that, your Bible says in Psalm 103, verse 20, bless the Lord, you his angels, who excel in strength, who do his word. What do the angels do? Look at that. Who do his word. What do the angels do? Who do his word. What do the angels do? They do his word. Heeding the voice of his word. What do the angels listen to? His word. What do the angels of God listen for? His word. So when my words come into line with his words, I have released the angels of God to go and perform what God said he'd already do and what Jesus Christ paid for at the cross of Calvary. Isn't that good today? The Bible says that they do his word and they listen to his word. Hebrews says that the angels of God are ministering spirits sent forth to minister for you. The word minister literally means serve. We don't serve angels, they serve us. That's good news today. Because one of those guys could wipe out tens of thousands of an entire army. And the Bible said, Jesus said, that these little ones, these little guys here, that their angel appears before my Father day and night. That means you have at least one mighty warrior of God assigned to your life to minister to you and minister for you, but he stands there twiddling his thumbs until you open your mouth and begin to speak the word of God out of your mouth. So there's power in the word of God. Jeremiah 1:12. Let me show you this. God says, for I am alert and active, watching over my word to perform it. Watching over my word to perform it. God watches over his word to do it. He listens for the word and he responds to it. Jesus would go and he would teach and he would preach the word and then he would heal. Why? Because the Holy Spirit only moves on the word of God, just like I showed you in salvation. Jesus said in John 6:63, the words that I speak to you, Kim, are spirit and they are life. So watch this. Here's divine alignment. Sally, when my words line up with his words, then if the words he speaks are spirit and life, and I'm saying what he's saying, and I'm confessing, saying the same thing as God, then the words that I speak, Kevin, are spirit and they are life. That's why when you come into this place, this is what I pray. This is why your life has changed when I preach. You don't come here to hear the words of a man. You come here to hear the word of God. In this place, the word of God is preached every single week, multiple times a week, and that's why God is moving in this place. You come in dry and you leave drenched. You come in dead and you come out alive. Hallelujah. You don't leave here the same way you walked in. Why? Because it's the word of God. The words that are being spoken are spirit and they are life. That is divine alignment. But what we've got to have happen is not just when I'm standing here, because as my sister-in-law said this week, hey, you know, it doesn't just work when you're in the house. I need you to be doing that out there. Jesus needs you to be doing that out there so that you're releasing spirit and life in the home, on the job, in the grocery store, in the post office, everywhere you go. When your words line up with his words, you are releasing the power of God and the manifestation of his miracle-working power as angels go to work for you in your life and those around you. Isn't the word good today? So we don't just read it. We don't just meditate on it. We don't just think about it. We pray it. We speak it. We declare it. Ezekiel chapter 37 is one of my favorite chapters in the Bible. God takes Ezekiel the prophet out into a valley. And the valley is filled with dry bones. And he begins to look at what's going on there, and he walks around it and he sees that the bones are totally parched, totally dried out. There's no life there. And here's what God says to Ezekiel. He says, Ezekiel, prophesy or speak to these bones and say to them, oh, dry bones, hear the word of the Lord. What did he tell them to say to them? Hear the word of the Lord. Did he say to tell them Ezekiel's words or God's word? He said, I want you to speak to them the word of the Lord. Thus says the Lord God to these bones, surely I will cause breath to enter into you and you shall live. I will put sinews on you and bring flesh upon you and cover you with skin and put breath in you and you shall live. Then you shall know that I am the Lord. Here's what he says. So I prophesied as I was commanded. I spoke as I was commanded. And as I prophesied, as I spoke, there was a noise and suddenly a rattling and the bones came together, bone to bone. So I prophesied as he commanded me and breath came into them and they lived and stood upon their feet, an exceedingly great army. Nothing happened until God could find a willing vessel to stand out over and survey a valley of deadness and dryness and begin to speak the word of the Lord. And I can see Ezekiel standing there today as he said, I want muscles to come on you. I want sinews to come on you. I want there to be tendons in your body. I want there to be veins. I command the bloods to come to life in the name of Jesus. I command there to be a heart. Put back in them a liver, God. In the name of Jesus, I release a pancreas and eyeballs and nostrils and nose hairs and ears, not earballs. That's gross. And ears and necks and knees and flesh and cover them with skin of every different color you can imagine. Black, white, brown, yellow. I want you to fill them up, God. I'm declaring the word of the Lord. And the Bible says, as Ezekiel said, the word of the Lord, that something starts happening. We're in a valley full of dry bones and all of a sudden there's a rattling sound of bones. All of a sudden bones start to tremor because there's something that happens when we speak out of our mouth that sends out a vibration into the earth. All of a sudden the bones are trembling and they start pulling together and all of a sudden life is coming into them and flesh is coming upon them and color is coming back into them and they stand up and they take a deep breath and there is a mighty army of God. Can I tell you today, that's the church of Jesus Christ, and we've got to have the breath of God blowing fresh upon us, and it's every single inspired word that flows from the throne of God. He gave you his Bible, and when you're feeling dead, it is the word that will bring you back to life. If you'll speak the word, he said, Ezekiel, can these bones live? And he's saying to you today, can your marriage live? Can your body live? Can your mind live? Can your kids come back to Jesus? Can you believe that I can do it in your life? And Ezekiel began to say what God said, and all of a sudden it began to happen. You need to say what God says about your marriage. You ought to, if your husband is acting an idiot, you ought to say, God, I thank you today that the fruit of the Spirit is abundant and evident and obvious and overflowing in him. Love, joy, peace, patience, long-suffering, goodness, gentleness, self-control. I thank you, Father, that the peace of God that passes all understanding is living in our heart and home because you are Jehovah Shalom. You are the God, my peace. Your peace is upon this place. I thank you, Father, today that no matter what happens to me, no matter what I'm going through, all things work together for the good of them that love the Lord, for those who are the called according to his purpose. And who you called, you glorified and justified. And I thank you for that today. I'm releasing the power of God into my life. If you look at your body and your body's dead and the doctors said that the report is not good, I don't say that. Thank God for that. Thank God that they can identify it. Now he just told me how to speak specifically to it. And so I say, I thank you, God, that I shall live and not die and declare the works of the Lord. I open my mouth and declare 1 Peter 2:24 that promise is mine because of the blood of Jesus, that by his stripes I was healed at the cross of Calvary. It's settled in the mind of God and it's settled in my mind. I can have what he said I can have. I can do what he said I can do. God's going to do it in me and he's going to do it through me. He doesn't just want to touch my life, but he wants to use me to touch somebody else. Confession isn't changing God, it's changing you. I said, confession isn't changing God, it's changing you. You're not changing God's mind. It's changing you from the inside out. Matthew chapter 12, verse 34, Jesus said, for out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. He said in verse 35, a good man out of the good treasure of his heart brings forth good things. And an evil man out of the either evil treasure of his heart brings forth evil things. But again, it's verse 34 that I love. Out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. After I got saved, I had a close friend named Ryan Martin that I used to run with before I got saved. And I went over to his house one afternoon, and he had just bought his brother a little hot rod. And he said, you want to go for a ride with me? And I said, sure. And so we jumped in the car, and we headed down the road. And I'm telling you, he was ripping it. He was grabbing all the gears and just giving it everything it had, trying to impress me. And we crested a blind hill. You couldn't see on the other side of it, and there was a stoplight there. It was red, and the traffic was backed up. And as soon as we come off the top of that hill, he slammed on the brakes and locked them up. And thankfully, he was smart enough and thought quick enough to yank the wheel hard enough to jump the curb. And we're sliding through the grass in the median, doing about 70 or 80, whipping past every car sitting beside us at that stoplight. And when he did it, the first thing that came out of my mouth, the first thing that rose up inside of me is what left my mouth. And this is what we do a lot of times. And I said, oh, schnick. Except we don't have kids' church today, and I didn't say schnick. And I repented immediately. And when I left, though, it bothered me. Because out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. And it tore me up because I thought, man, I don't want a heart full of schnick. I want a heart full of God. If that's the first thing that came out of my mouth when I could have been killed instantly, Holy Spirit, we've got work to do. Because out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. And so I begin to let God do that work in me, and I begin to pray, God, set a watch over my lips and guard my mouth, and let the meditation of my heart and the words of my lips be pleasing to you. As I read the words of David that said, I will hide your word in my heart that I don't sin against you. And so I begin to deposit the word of God into my heart. And y'all know I love cars. I built them, I raced them, and it wasn't too much longer, and I was headed down Interstate 240 in Oklahoma City. I had a 1990 Mustang GT. It was Vermilia red, drop top, black leather. Had a Lunati cam, full race length headers, 355 gears, pulleys, mass airflow, Cobra R wheels, topped off. I had a center force clutch, Flowmaster exhaust, topped off with a Hurst billet plus shifter. Can I get an amen? And so I'm going down the interstate, got the top down, beautiful summer day, just got out of community college. I'm headed down the road. I get off the exit ramp, and I hit an oil slick. And the car starts sliding out of control. There is no guardrail, and there's a 40-foot drop-off, and I'm headed for that rail. And this time around, instead of saying, oh, schnick, I said, Jesus! And in an instant, that car went from sliding out of control, and it was instantly in the center of that lane, moving down that road. Amen. I can't explain it. I don't even understand it. But I know that had I have said, oh, schnick, I'd be dead, because schnick can't help you, but Jesus can. I said the one word. I said the word that released everything this book contains. I released the angels of God. I released the protection of God. I released the promises of God. All heaven stood to attention. No wonder the Bible says, whoever calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved. I came to come to tell somebody today, it's time to stop prophesying schnick, and it's time to start speaking the word of God. Speak the word. Speak the word. Speak the word. Speak the word. When the doctor tells you you're going to die, thanks for your report, but I believe the report of the Lord. When the bank says you can't do it, thanks for your report, but I believe the word of the Lord. He's still saving. He's still healing. He's still delivering. He's still breaking bondages. He's still setting people free. He's still watching over his word to do what he said he would do. Who will you agree with? Get your alignment checked today. The Holy Ghost will do it for free, and he'll correct it for free. With every head bowed and every eye closed, how many of you here today could say, Josh, my alignment's out. My words and what's in my heart are not matching. All over this room. All over this room. See, many times what we want and what we're living is two different things. This is one of those connections that will correct that. Father, in the name of Jesus, for every single person here today, I'm asking, Father, that you would set a guard over our lips. I'm asking, Holy Spirit, that you would do that alignment. I'm asking that you would correct our direction, the course of our tongue. I'm asking, Father, in the name of Jesus, that you would take that which is broken on the inside of us, and God, that you would correct it. We know it's not all on you. We're willing to do our part. Father, we'll be doers of the word and not just hearers only. Maybe you're here today and you say, Josh, today I'm not right with God. If I was to die today, if my car were to do that and I didn't make it today, I don't know where I'd be if I stood before God. Friend, the Bible says that whoever calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved. That being saved means you believe in your heart that God raised Jesus from the dead, and you say with your mouth, Jesus, you're Lord of my life. Cindy's standing up right now. She's standing up right now. Maybe you're here today and you say, Josh, I don't know where I am with God. I'm lost. Friend, it's as simple as calling on the name of Jesus. He loves you. He died on the cross for you. Here's why he died on the cross. He died on the cross because we've all sinned and fallen short of what his expectations were. Jesus lived a perfect life. He said, I'll die in your place so that you can live my life. I'll be cursed so that you can be blessed. I'll become your sin so that you can have my perfect standing with the Father. Maybe you're here today and you say, Josh, I've asked Jesus into my heart. I've called on the Lord at one time, but man, I let life creep in and crowd him out. And I'm just living away from God. I've let things come in that I know are hindering my relationship with him. Today, I want to come home. If that's you today, without any thought of who's around you, and you say, Josh, today I want to call on the name of Jesus. I'm going to count to three, and I want you to slip up your hand. One, two, three. Josh, that's me today. Thank you. Thank you. Is there another one today? Thank you. Is there another one today? Thank you. Is there another one today? Jesus, 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 thank you. I see you there. Hallelujah. I see you there.